Welcome to the Intuitive Eating and Body Positivity Podcast. I'm Terry and I'll be talking about all things intuitive eating, body positivity and health at every size, and shaking off weight stigma, diet culture and food rules so that we can all have a better relationship with food and our bodies. Hi. I owe you an apology, don't I? I'll be with you every week, I said. And then last week, there was no podcast episode. I'm really sorry. Oh, if you could have seen me last weekend, you would have understood why there was no episode. Now, I don't record these episodes in advance because I like to talk to you about things that have gone on in the week, current things that are going on. I like to talk to you as things happen in life rather than having this backlog of previously recorded episodes to send out. And so I do tend to do them on a Friday or a Saturday for release on the Sunday. Well, I went to a party on the Saturday. Let's just say I had a lovely time. And Sunday, I did not have a lovely time. Yeah. It wasn't a pretty day. And so the podcast didn't get done and the newsletter didn't get done until Monday. And there was all sorts of bits and pieces that didn't get done. So I do apologise. But, you know, this is life, isn't it? And I think that's just the way life goes. Sometimes things happen that means your normal plans don't happen. And as much as I love you guys, I do love my bed more when I am hungover. Oh, so I am sorry. I kind of miss it when I don't do it as well. You know these episodes should go out and I enjoy seeing it go live and I enjoy seeing the downloads happen because that means that people are listening and it means that you are wanting to listen and wanting to hear me talk to you. So I do feel like I let you down a little bit, but I miss it. So just know that my preference is actually to do these podcasts, not to not bother, if that makes sense. So leading up to the party, you might have seen if you're following me on Instagram, I was talking about the outfits for the party. I was talking on my stories about how I'd ordered some dresses. This was going to be a nice dress up party. It was for a friend's 40th birthday, so I was going to get dressed up and wear something nice. So I got online, because we all know that's where I do my shopping, and I ordered a load of dresses. And I did order a load of dresses. Anyway, they arrived, and I had a bit of an evening after work where I tried them on and tried to decide which ones I liked. I'd had good faith that I'd ordered the right sizes and things like that. So I came out of it a bit disappointed and I took to my Instagram stories to explain this. I tried the dresses on. Some didn't fit. Fine. That was, I think, a little bit of my fault and a little bit of the fault of the shop that I ordered from because they gave me an idea online of what size I should order, but there was also an indication that I probably should have gone up a size. So, you know, it's one of those things. I just ordered the wrong size in some of them. And some of them just didn't suit me, which is fine. But it gave me a bit of a wobble, because as much as on the whole I'm pretty body positive, I'm not comfortable with finding things to wear to events like this. I don't know what suits my body anymore since my body has changed. I don't think I really knew what suited me before anyway, but I live day to day in the clothes that I'm comfortable in, the clothes that I'm used to, and to go out and try and find something a bit different to wear in a body that I've not had to dress for this kind of event before. It's all a little bit outside of my comfort zone, so I got a little bit down on myself. But I decided what I would do is put them aside. I would have a little moan to a friend, rant to a friend, a chat with a friend. Either which way, I put my feelings across to somebody and decided that, you know, I'll just come back to this later in the week. Come to this another time. It's absolutely fine. And long story short, when I came to dress for the party and I had the dress on with jewellery, hair and makeup done, all that sort of stuff. I was actually really happy with one of them. I was really comfortable, really happy with one of them. So off I trot to the party and I felt good. I had a really good time. I had compliments on the dress, which was actually really nice because it's nice to have compliments on the clothes and not necessarily on the body that's wearing the clothes. Do you know what I mean? So often we're quick to say, oh, you've lost so much weight. Don't you look amazing? But I was really happy to just have people say that they loved the dress. I'm happy with that. That's all I wanted. And I had a really good night. I had such good fun. I felt really good. It was really nice. I had somebody say to me, oh, you're the girl with the podcast. And somebody else stopped me and she said, I follow you on Instagram and I love your dress. So it's nice to see that people are there kind of rooting for you, even when you don't know that they are. So I guess this is a little bit of motivation to have a bit of faith in your choosing of outfits when you're going out somewhere. Just rock up. Wear what you're comfortable in. Wear what you like to wear rather than worrying about what other people are going to think of what you're wearing, because that is what I had to do in the end. I had to go in with the attitude of, I like what I'm wearing. I don't care what other people think. And that is the mindset. So that's a little teeny tiny message for you, is just if you're comfortable in something and that's what you want to wear, then wear it and have a good time in it. But yeah, Sunday was not a great day. So Sunday was a write-off. I could have done with Monday off work to get over Sunday. What else have we done this week? Went for family lunch yesterday. That was supposed to be between Christmas and New Year. but lots of things have happened and COVID has happened. Two people involved. So the chefs went down with COVID. So we had to rearrange our booking, that sort of thing. And we finally got to have our family Christmas get together yesterday. The food was amazing. If you are catching this Sunday or Monday, have a look at my stories on Instagram. I had the biggest brie wedges you have ever seen. They were massive. And when you cut into them, they were all gooey and gorgeous. And then a massive burger, which was homemade and juicy and blooming lovely. Oh, yeah. So if you're catching this Sunday or Monday, have a look at the photos. So good. So good. In fact, they were so much food, I didn't even have pudding. No, I know. Dessert menu came over. No, thank you. I am quite full enough. That's unheard of. It's unheard of for me. Gosh, I've got so much to say. Can you tell? This is what happens when I have a week off. I've got lots to say to you. This week, I'm going to talk to you about fitness trackers. I don't know if you saw, again, on my Instagram stories, I put a question box up and said, tell me what you think of fitness trackers, basically. Do you like them? Do you not like them? You know, I wasn't leading this conversation anywhere. I was just interested to see what people thought of their fitness trackers or of fitness trackers in general. Because I wanted to come on here and talk to you about fitness trackers and kind of give you the good, the bad and the ugly around them so that you can make a decision on whether you want to use them or not. First off, what even is a fitness tracker? They come in a wide range of forms, but you will most commonly know of them things like MyFitnessPal and Fitbit. Those are going to be the most popular ones, I think, that people will recognise. And they're generally apps that you have on your mobile phone that help you to track certain things, food, exercise, that sort of thing. But it's not just MyFitnessPal. And it's not just Fitbit. So you've got different variations. You've got people like Garmin that will make fitness trackers. I think those will be more geared up to the exercise side of things, but they will always or almost always encounter some kind of link to food tracking. Phones these days have got fitness trackers built into them. I think mine is called a health log, something like that. So it's quite deceptive, isn't it? A name like Health Log, when actually what it's doing is tracking different aspects of life for me. Diet clubs will have apps. I think now most diet clubs will have some form of app that you can put on your phone to help you track the food that you're eating. And even just bits of paper that are intended for you to track your food through the week from these diet clubs, they're also a form of tracker. I know that when I was at Slimming World, we used to have these paper diaries. I hated them. Do you know what I did instead? Oh, God. I went online and I ordered myself a special Slimming World journal book. I don't know if that's what it was officially called, but it was basically this notebook that turned up and it had been designed by somebody and they were selling it on the internet. And I won't tell you exactly where on the internet, obviously, but I ordered it online. And it was basically this book of these pieces of paper where I could write down everything I'd eaten and drank, every bit of movement, and every glass of water. And that is a paper form of a fitness tracker, essentially. And what they do is they make you focus on what you're eating, what you're drinking, and the exercise that you're doing, really. That's the basics of it. Now, the problem with this is that it becomes all about numbers for a lot of people. It becomes a really unhealthy obsession. You're always going to be looking at the numbers on that screen or the numbers in that book or the numbers on that piece of paper, wherever you're tracking. It's always going to be about numbers and not about how you feel and intuitively eating and intuitively moving. So if we take a look at food, for example, when you're monitoring your food in an app, you are going to be targeting yourself to a certain amount of calories or a certain level of macros, you know, the carbs, fats, proteins. You're going to have set levels that your target is to be under each day. So if your calories are set at, actually, no, I'm not going to give you a number, but you will have a number of calories that you're not going to eat above. You're going to have levels of macros that you're not going to eat above. And you become so focused on those numbers that that becomes your ultimate goal. Now, when you start tracking on these apps, most of them will give you a starting point where you get to put your data in and then it will spit out this number that tells you what you should be eating. And these numbers are typically very, very low. In my opinion, the number that they churn out is low anyway. But even right from the beginning of the process, you can tweak it to suit. So when I say that, what I mean is you put your details in at the beginning. It asks you what your level of movement is now. It asks you what your target weight is, you know, what your goal weight is. It asks you how quickly you want to lose weight. And you put your options in and it gives you a number. But the problem is that most people are going to choose the fastest option. They're going to go for the quickest weight loss because that's what we're aiming for, isn't it? Most people using these fitness trackers will be looking to lose weight and lose it quickly. So you're going to choose the options in that app that give you the quickest results. And the quickest results are going to be gained, as far as these apps are concerned, by you cutting calories. So you've chosen the very lowest option for your calorie intake, resulting in the quickest weight loss, as far as you're concerned. Now you've chosen in that app. And then the obsession begins. You end up obsessing over food. You end up counting and tracking every last morsel that you put in your mouth. Even that is a bit of a guessing game in itself, really, because to log this food, you can either choose from a list of foods that's already in their database, or you can enter your own. So if you're choosing from this database that they've got, you are taking what's in there as given. You're taking it as correct. So you might eat a packet of crisps and an apple, and then you go into the database and you choose a packet of crisps and an apple of your, you know, chosen varieties, and you add them to your diary and you think, right, that's it. That's that data collected. That's that logged for the day. But often These database entries that they've got in their lists are things that other people have entered. So what if the original person has entered the data for that bag of crisps or that apple and it's wrong? What if they've typed the numbers in the wrong way around? What if they just misunderstood what they were reading on the packet and they've put the wrong entry in? You know, there's all kinds of things that can go wrong with a human being entering data into a computer, which is essentially what that is. And then if you're entering that yourself, is it a bit of a guessing game? Do you know what you're putting in? Now, I'm not saying that you're not capable of doing that, but we're all human and we all make mistakes. And, you know, sometimes the things on these packets are not clear. They're really difficult to get the information from. And so when you're putting the data in yourself manually, maybe sometimes it's not correct. I mean, let's face it, who knows, without going to the internet, how many calories an apple has and how much fat and how many carbs and how much protein. This isn't stuff we just know. This is stuff we have to research. And if you're not in the field of nutrition, how do you know what you're looking at? Really, how do you know what you're looking at? So first off, what we have is potential for incorrect data. That's where I'm going with that. And as the day goes on, the variability of the information that is being put in is suddenly gone from super accurate to, whoa, who knows how far out the number of calories I've tracked are compared to the number of calories I've actually consumed. Then also, let's go back to our good friend, the calorie. When it's in the body, a calorie is not just a calorie. One calorie in through your mouth is not necessarily one calorie converted to energy in the body. Depending on what you're eating, your body will be able to use some of the calories in each of the foods you eat. But the body has to break down these foods in different ways. So you will get a different level of energy out of the calories in, say, a sugar cube than you will in a kernel of sweet corn. I mean, sweet corn is infamous for not being broken down and wholly used in the body. We know that, don't we? Because we see the results about 24 hours later. If you know what I mean. If you don't know what I mean, lucky you. So basically what I'm saying here is the calories you eat, the calories that are on those labels, on the packets of the food that you're logging, is not necessarily the calories that your body is going to use. So you've got the errors in actually logging the data. You've got the fact that your body doesn't use 100% of the calories that it's eating. And so already you've got this variance in what you've logged compared to what you've actually used in your body. But this obsession begins as you use these apps. You're constantly checking, how many have I eaten? How many have I got left? How much food can I squeeze into my allowance? You always start to look for ways to use less calories, but feel like you've eaten. It becomes a complete numbers game. You lose any kind of intuition around eating. You aren't guided by how your body feels. You're guided by the number of calories that you've got left. You don't think about what you want to eat and what your body is calling for. You start thinking of what you can eat according to how many calories you've got left. You stop eating when your calories run out, if you're that kind of person. See, for me, it's a little bit like I get to that point and I cannot eat any more because that is what the app says. I must stop now. But then the flip side is the days where I've gone over and really over, I get this all or nothing, to hell with it mindset. And because I've gone over, then that's it. I'm just going to keep eating. So for me, it's one extreme or the other. I'm either rigid on the numbers or it goes out the window. At no point am I thinking whether I'm still hungry or not. I'm not satisfied by the food that I'm tracking because I am tracking food to make it fit within my calories, not for what I want to eat. So come the end of my calories, I am either still hungry and making myself stop eating, or I'm not satisfied and then I'm eating everything and I've blown those calories out the water. Neither option is good or healthy. What is healthy is being guided by your intuition, being guided by how you feel. Are you hungry? Are you full? Do you need to eat something because your body is telling you that you need to eat something? Or actually, do you not feel very good and you don't want to eat anymore because your body is saying, hang on, I don't need to eat right now? Whereas I'm all for eating when you're ill to keep your energy up, sometimes your body says, hang on, I don't need to eat. Just stop. And on those days where you're tracking food in an app, you override all of these signals. All of these signals that are telling you whether you should eat, whether you shouldn't eat, whether you want to eat or not, what you want to eat, what you don't want to eat. All of those signals get pushed down and are just totally overruled by this obsession around the numbers. I even used to use it alongside the Slimming World journal. So Slimming World, for those who haven't done it, is not guided by calories. It is guided by a list of free foods and a list of stuff you have to count. And the aim is that you eat lots of free foods and you don't eat many of the other ones. So when I was logging my food diary for Slimming World, I was also logging it in a fitness app to see how many calories I was eating. Well, that wasn't the plan. That's not what Slimming World says to do. But I'd got so obsessed with knowing what I was eating and the calories in it that I was doing them both. And that's how ridiculous these things can get. Let's also remember that eating a certain amount of calories, eating under a certain amount of set calories, does not mean that you are nourished well. It doesn't mean that you're eating healthily. You could eat a lot of one type of food because it's low in calories. That doesn't mean you're getting a good range of nutrients. All it means is that you're under this level of numbers for the day. So tracking your calories does not necessarily mean that you are going to be healthier. It's just meaning you're cutting food out of your day. And where do these numbers even come from in the first place? Have you ever asked yourself that? These numbers that you're set, the numbers of calories that you're set, the number of carbs and fats and proteins that an app or a plan will tell you to use is kind of a bit pie in the sky. There are lots of calculations around that can be done to figure out that what somebody of your age, height, weight, weight loss goals, that sort of thing, could be eating to have results that they desire. But these are very, very general calculations. And they're very old calculations. They were discovered, no, not discovered. They were created a long time ago. And to my knowledge, they don't really change that much. But these calculations are based on a fictional average person made up of the data that you're putting in. It doesn't know you. It doesn't know your biology, your genetics, your history with food, your lifestyle, your stress levels. It doesn't know about all of those things. So how can it be accurate? How can the numbers be accurate if they do not tailor them to you, specifically you? And as I said before, these numbers are so low. And it's a business thing on their part. They want people to buy the apps. They want people to use their free apps even. But then they're going to make lots of money off the advertising inside of the apps or the add-on purchases, the upscaling to a premium version, for example. They want people to get results so that they continue to use these apps. It's all about business. It's not about you. Which actually I think is really sad. I think it's one of those things that, again, we're fighting diet culture and beauty standards, and it's so heavily driven by money. So, yeah, know that that is what happens behind these apps. They don't really care about you. There's nobody sat there in a chair somewhere going, oh, let's really, really help Julie out today because, you know, she's feeling bad about herself. Nobody's there doing that. If you're listening and your name's Julie, then that's a massive coincidence. I just plucked a name out of thin air. I don't mean you. Well, I do mean you, but I just mean people in general. Let's have a look at the exercise side of this as well. So maybe you use these apps for exercise tracking rather than food tracking. Okay, so big thumbs up for not tracking your food in the app. Let's look at how you're using it to track your exercise, because that can become equally as obsessive. These apps can go from very basic step counting right up to things like heart rate and stuff like that. So the degree in which you're tracking can vary. But let's start with steps. Let's start with a step counting. There is this magical figure that's not really magic. It's made up. And the number is 10,000. Everybody thinks, don't they, that 10,000 steps is the number of steps that you're supposed to hit to have moved a healthy amount in the day. But did you know that that number's made up? And it was made up by a Japanese company who were developing a piece of kit off the back of the Tokyo Olympics in 1964. And off the back of that wave of fitness energy from people, because, you know, people get inspired when things are on, don't they? When the tennis on, you want to play tennis. When the snooker's on, you want to play snooker. Well, they were riding the wave of the excitement of doing all these athletics and stuff. And they created this device that counted steps, and they decided it was going to be 10,000 steps. That's it. There's nothing scientific behind it. And yet, when we are counting the steps on our app, when we've got our Fitbit on and we're checking it every half an hour, we're still aiming for something like the 10,000 steps, even though it's a made-up number. Or maybe you're not going for 10,000 steps. Maybe you're doing some kind of plan that says, if you do 15,000 steps in a day, you can eat more calories. Brill. So all of a sudden, everybody's charging around trying to get 15,000 steps in. It won't have been the first time that I have stood in the kitchen at 11:30 at night, jogging on the spot in order to get my steps up to hit that top level of steps that I'm aiming for. Because somebody on an app somewhere has told me that to be allowed to eat the food that I eaten that day, I needed to have hit that higher level of steps. And that is soul destroying. Jogging in the kitchen before you can go to bed very late at night because you feel like you need to have earned the food that you've eaten is soul destroying. But we do it because we think that's what we have to do. But we don't. We don't have to do that. Again, there is no allowance for how your body feels. There is no allowance made for days when you're energized and you want to do more. Days when you're feeling low and you know that you just need to rest. These things don't take that into account. Nobody pipes up on your fitness watch in the morning and says, hi dude, how are you feeling today? Have you got energy? Have you got a bad day ahead? Have you got a long day of meetings and you're not going to be able to get your steps in? Or are you going on a hike because then you can get loads in? Nobody does that, do they? Nobody's ringing you first thing in the morning, seeing how you are, seeing what your day holds and deciding whether 10,000 steps is the right thing for you today. And this can quite easily lead to burnout. You are going to be trying everything you can to get those steps in. You're going to get up from your desk every 20 minutes, you're going to go to the toilet that's the furthest one away. You are going to stand in the toilet and jog on the spot for 5 minutes, thinking nobody knows what you're doing. And all of these things become an obsession, an unnecessary obsession. And then you end up burning out because you can't do what this app is asking you to do. By the way, yes, that was me going to the toilet the furthest away and jogging on the spot to get my steps in. Yep. It doesn't automatically mean healthy. If you move 10,000 steps today, are you going to be healthier than you were yesterday? If you don't do 10,000 steps today, are you going to be unhealthier than you were yesterday? No, absolutely not, because that's not how it works. Life is made up of lots of different aspects, and getting some good movement into your life, some joyful, fun activities into your life is much healthier, much better for you than just trying to get 10,000 steps in. Now, I say 10,000 steps because that's that number that we all have in our heads that's the number we should aim for. But that's, I think, the only time where it's okay to have mentioned numbers. So don't hold that 10,000 to account. Just know that that comes from the fact that it's a well-known number. But then the food and exercise combined is the worst of them all. So you then start down this route of, right, now I have to do this many steps, then I can have that much to eat. But if I do more movement, then I can eat more food. And oh no, I didn't eat enough today. I need to not do as much energy burning exercise. And no, today I didn't move enough, so therefore I will reduce the number of calories. God, is your mind pickled by this? Because this is how we can live when we've got these fitness trackers. How do we do it? And yet, it still becomes the standard that you set yourself against. It's still the thing that makes you at the end of the day think that you have either been good today or bad today. It's the thing that in the morning can start you off on a good day or a bad day. It becomes what we measure ourselves against. These made up numbers on an app become what we judge ourselves by. Isn't that sad? Why don't we just become intuitive about it? Why don't we just listen to our body? What do we want to eat? How much do we want to eat? What type of food do you want to eat right now? Do I feel like moving today? Is the weather good enough for me to go outside? I mean, today is lovely. It's gloriously sunny and it's quite warm outside for January standards. Some days when it's throwing it down, I am not going out walking. And yet we judge ourselves by these things. So let's become more intuitive. Let's become more intuitive in our food and our exercise. Let's not be driven by these numbers on an app. Now, I'm going to throw a little spanner in the works right here. There are some things that these apps can be really good for. Would you believe it? Are you a person who drinks enough water? Are you? I don't think many of us do drink the water that we're supposed to drink, do we? So sometimes these apps can be set so that it prompts you to drink water. And it prompts you to look at how many cups of water you might have drank already in the day. Little reminders like, have you had a cup of water this hour? Or, you know, whatever it says. I don't know. That can be good because drinking more water is really good for us. It helps us to be energized. It helps our digestion. It helps our mental clarity. Water's good for a lot of things. So to be prompted to drink more water can be a really good thing. Also, for some people, being encouraged to do exercise is a good thing. If you can cope with a prompt that says, come on, get up and move. You haven't moved for a while. Then that can be good because, especially for people like me who sit at a desk all day, maybe I could do with a nudge every now and again. Maybe I could do with somebody coming up to me in the office once an hour saying, can you just go for a little wander around? Can you just go and stretch your legs? I don't need somebody telling me how many steps I've done. I need somebody telling me just to go for a walk, just to refresh my energy, just to get my body moving a little bit. Because to be sat down all day long, not so good. So encouraging things like that can be really good if you're not the kind of person that is obsessed by things like that. If you can manage that, then that can be a side of it that's really good for you. I also had some responses to my question on Instagram that said, one person, for example, uses a tracker now to prompt her to eat more. She knows that she doesn't eat enough. And for her to stay fit and healthy, she needs to be prompted to eat a minimum amount of food a day. So that's what she uses it for. She uses it to track the food she's eating so she knows that she's eating enough. There's also another lady that commented and said she uses it to make sure that she's fueled enough for her workouts. And somebody else said that they use it to help migraine prevention because she knows that she needs to eat in a certain way in order to avoid migraines. These are great reasons why you might use a fitness and diet tracker. But I think those examples are great examples of when you are using your intuition. You're using common sense to know that you might benefit from using these apps. So there are definitely some good aspects to them if you can use them in that way. So at the end of all of that, it is your decision whether you use a fitness tracker, whether you use a food logging app. It's entirely your decision. But as long as you're in it with your eyes wide open, as long as you are able to check in with yourself and know whether your relationship with it is healthy or not healthy. Mentally, are you able to cope with it? Are you in a healthy place with a relationship with food? And so it's okay to do it. Are you able to be happy when you haven't met your goals in this app? Are you allowing for life to happen at the same time? Are you still being intuitive? Because that is always the goal with any of this stuff. You need to still have this intuitive approach. You need to still listen to your body, listen to what you want to eat, listen to how you want to move. If you can do that, then go ahead, use the apps. But it's your decision at the end of the day. I choose not to. I can't deal with that. But for others, it's absolutely necessary and positive. So I will leave you to decide whether that is for you or not. Do follow me on Instagram because every now and again I will pop things like this up that I like your feedback for. It helps me to put out better information for people. So do that. Come join the Facebook group if you haven't yet because I ask those questions there as well. And have you registered for the newsletter yet? The link is in the show notes, but you can also go to terrypugh.co.uk/newsletter. Woohoo! I'm off now to write an assignment. Yawn. I really love studying. I don't like assignment writing one little bit. So thank goodness you're here to form the very best of procrastination. But now it's come to an end. I really do have to go and write my assignment. Have a lovely week. Have a really, really lovely week. I hope you have got nice things planned and keep being awesome. Just be awesome you. I'll speak to you next week. I really will speak to you next week. Bye-bye.